Mark in Bloomington has a tree that's partially up and partially down. So, should it stay or should it go? I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. His name is Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Great. Glad to have you here. Today on GLT's Grow, we have a question from Mark in Bloomington, which was submitted on our webpage, wglt.org/grow. He has this big, beautiful evergreen, and during a storm, it was partially knocked down. So when that happens, you think, I really like that tree. I'd like to save it. He wants to save it, but he doesn't know if it has enough of viability with those roots
right, to
be saved. So Murph, where does Mark go from here?
Well, Mark's got some challenges on his hand because, you know, everyone that's listening, I want them to know that this is a large tree that's near maturity. It's a needled evergreen. It's either a Colorado blue spruce or a Douglas fir. I'm not 100% sure.
But there is a photo of it on our website.
That's right.
To go look on the grow page.
And that's useful, I think, for everyone listening because of the scale of this tree. And the above ground parts of this tree add up to hundreds of pounds, if not a couple of tons.
Wow.
So the thing is, you know, we do have the means mechanically to use some power. And you can even cushion the bracing, you know, like there's lots of tree cabling and stuff that is done with cushions to prevent damaging the bark.
Yeah.
We do have the ability as tree folks.
And we have the technology.
Garden, that's right. $6 million tree coming right at you. So we could stand it up and we could even put great big cabling devices down to hold the tree still in the wind so that the roots could recover.
Mm-hmm.
But the tree is quite massive and it could just not recover. There's a lot of damage done to the roots when trees are uprooted and they bring up soil and parts of their roots with them.
Mm-hmm.
The roots that are still attached to the tree are usually damaged also. So it's hit or miss whether one can get away with doing this.
So you have to think to yourself, do I want to put all that money into trying to save it when the chances are good it won't work at all?
Right, and a frequent outcome of this scenario. So, you know, imagine you're a farmer and you have the ability because you have equipment, or you're a contractor and you own a backhoe and you know lots of muscle, and you get this tree stood up, and over the years it's obvious that it's growing, it's doing great. You know, that's the talk of the town with the neighbors. Hey, look at Laura's tree.
Kid.
Laura's tree fell over. It's a $6 million tree now. And you take the supports off and another storm comes, or it's just a gentle breeze on a sunny day, and there it is. It's laying over again. Because all that's connecting it to the earth are these little roots that start out about the size of a human hair, you know, the thickness of a hair. And it takes a long time for those roots to grow into ones that secure the tree to the earth. And those,
like years and years,
yeah,
and years.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, if you left the tree staked for a real long time, I think that takes away from its beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So then it is, you know, it's a basic function of preference and taste, and an economic decision too. So you could spend a lot of time.
How much would it cost to do something like that?
I can't say for sure,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if I was hired to do that, I would also want to include the expense of coming back to check on it from time to time. And then also prepare for, you know, one of the braces or some of the cabling to be repaired. Because the tree's going to grow, and there's all that force that's there,
mm-hmm.
Buffeting the wind. You know, deflecting the wind, and it's unlikely that a large tree like that would make it. And if it did, it would even then be temporary. Like I say, it'd fall right over again.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, we're dealing with what to do with a tilting tree, and it sounds like Mark needs to cut this tree down.
Yeah, I think Mark's situation is one where he would be best hiring somebody to come in and help him clean this tree up. And because the tree did uproot itself, it took the buttress root and the top of the root system out of the ground.
Mm.
This presents a rare opportunity, and that is to plant another tree where one once was.
Oh.
Because there's no stump there anymore.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be a little bit of stuff below ground that deteriorates and decomposes. But with proper care, another tree could be planted in the same spot. And, so that's the good news. That new tree could be a larger tree or a different variety of tree, so they could add to the diversity of his population there as
mm-hmm.
far as what he has to look at. And, you know, you could even chop that tree up into little log segments and sit on them until they're nice and dry, and then you can throw them into the campfire. So there's a thousand things we can do with an old tree that didn't make it.
Yeah, better on a campfire outside than inside, because you don't want to burn pine wood in your fireplace because of the creosote issue with that.
That's right, and it's high ash, and it doesn't produce that much heat compared to a lot of other woods, and I appreciate you remembering that, Laura, because we did talk about firewood a while
back. That's right, and we could actually take that tree and turn it into log art, which we've also talked about, and people can listen to that podcast on our website, wglt.org/grow.
Indeed.
You know, it looks like he's going to be losing that tree.
I think so. And you can replace it with the same kind of tree. You know, if it's a naturalized colony, I think the mixture of large and juvenile trees of the same variety is a very natural appearance, because that's how you see it occur in nature.
Mm-hmm.
You see grandma and grandpa trees, mom and dad trees, then the children trees all around there.
So it's
right?
Like sort of like Goldilocks, where, you know, you got these three sizes.
But Mark's situation also makes me think about the bracing and cabling that you see with new trees.
Mm-hmm.
There is an art and a science to that. You see it done with the best of intentions, but oftentimes it's done in a way that is negative towards the tree. One stake with a wire going to a tree, you often find the result is the tree will grow away from that one stake as hard as it can.
Really?
Yeah, that likes the balance on either side. Similarly, when the tree stakes, whether it's the stake that anchors at the ground or on a metal post, the guy wires that attach to the tree should do so without tension, just to help hold the tree still as the above ground parts blow in the wind, so that the below ground parts are not disturbed. We want the roots to take off running when we plant a tree. Similarly, if we put the stakes, whether they're on the poles or anchored at the earth, if they're placed on the tree in a sloppy manner, where when the tree blows around, that cable and that guide is moving around, even when it has a cushion on it, it can damage the tree. So there's some homework that's needed to be done there in many cases, I think, when folks plant trees.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing I was going to close with, and as we talked about this, is cabling and tree surgery and airborne devices that hold trees together is typically reserved for trees of historical value, or marquee trees that might be located near the entrance of a famous hotel or a very fine restaurant or someone's nice home. You know, trees have value to people.
Absolutely.
And to property. And it's also found in cases where large trees, if they were to fail, they would cause extensive property damage.
Oh, you mean like something would happen and then boom, it takes out your house.
Yeah, but it's the residential setting is not typically where we see this kind of bracing and things done. It's done on a commercial setting, and the bracing is maintained over the years because the tree is going to continue to grow. And I just want everybody to know that cabling branches up in your tree and things like that, that doesn't always have the desired outcome. Oftentimes, right around those bracing type hardware and things and trees, that's where they break during storms and stuff. So,
and if you're going to do it, let a professional do it for you.
Absolutely.
It's not something to take on yourself.
It's not.
Okay. All right, Murph, thank you so much. And Mark, sorry about your tree, but try again. Next week, finding inspiration on a campus tour. That's on GLT's Grow next week. Now, if you've got a gardening question or some kind of garden problem that you would like Murph to take on, just go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form, and then you just send it along to us. And it's possible that Murph will pick your question to answer on the air, just like he did with Mark's question. We'd love to hear from you. It is the springtime, so there's lots of interesting things to ask Murph about, and we would love to hear your question. Submit it at wglt.org/grow.
All right, did I box you out too much at the end?
No, you were great.